I would like to call this meeting to order. It's the City of Palm Coast City Council Business Meeting. It is Tuesday, February 6, 2018. It is 6 p.m. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland.
Here.
Vice Mayor Cuff.
Here.
Councilmember Nobile has an excused absence. Councilmember Clufus.
Present.
Councilmember Shipley.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We'll now move to agenda item number D, public participation. Any member of the public wish to speak on items not on the agenda, please do so at this time. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. In 1999, the city founders of Palm Coast promised to protect existing residential areas. In 2003, the City Council committed to alleviating heavy traffic on Florida Park Drive. Traffic, according to FDOT, has reached 8,600 cars per day, 645 trucks per day, just 60 feet from children's bedrooms. City of Palm Coast comprehensive plan ensure that proposed land uses the development do not adversely impact existing residential area. Code of Ordinance of City of Palm Coast, Chapter 24, regulate and abate the activities which are causing or which may cause pollution of air, which may unreasonably interfere with the comfortable enjoyment of life or property within the city. Turn lanes from the parkways created thoroughfare traffic. A large portion of this traffic seems to come from the C-section. It's funneled down a single residential street, Florida Park Drive. When that community, the C-section, has a traffic interchange at the parkways, which does not involve any residential street, the intersection of Palm Coast Parkway and Palm Harbor Parkway. City projects, the project promised to reduce traffic. 1 year later, increased traffic by 400 cars per day. City has ignored scientific studies about the harm of traffic, close proximity to homes, and the pleas from residents to protect their health. Turn lanes has encouraged traffic outside the F section residential area to use Florida Park Drive as a thoroughfare between the parkways and discouraged the non-residential intersection of Palm Coast Parkway and Palm Harbor Parkway. It has harmed the residents financially by reducing the property values and thus cannot move, and those that it cannot move, their health are being harmed, which adds more to their financial burden of the families. The scientific studies continue to find additional harmful ways that traffic fumes, traffic dust, traffic noise harms the health of residents, especially the children and the elderly. At present, protection of drivers' rights override the protection of residential health and financial stability. It is up to the city if they will fix this problem, protect the health of the residents of Florida Park Drive. So that's what we're asking. Please protect our health. Do something about the extreme amount of traffic that's on Florida Park Drive. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Can I ask you to pull 11 on the consent agenda?
When we get there, Jack, I will.
Well, I just want to get ahead of you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. George Mayo, Palm Coast. What I've seen in the newspaper 4 times this week and 3 times on TV, the new thing, if you haven't heard, are flamethrowers. Elon Musk, one of his subsidiary companies, is making them along with another California company. I'm old enough when somebody says flamethrower to me, I think of the Vietnam War, the Korean War, and World War II. They claim you could use them for removal of weeds and snow. I asked the county commissioners yesterday, brought this up. They said they were going to look into it about banning it. The state of California has banned them if they shoot more than 10 feet. The state of Maryland has banned them completely. I couldn't imagine being a deputy going to a domestic call if somebody doesn't have a gun but they have a flamethrower. Or they're walking up to a car and they don't have a gun, but they have a flamethrower. Now you have to really worry about it. So I will leave this with the clerk and hope you can look into this and have the city of Palm Coast ban flamethrowers. You can't stop people from buying them, but if an officer pulls somebody over and they have one, maybe confiscate them. I don't see any good use for flamethrowers. The other thing I wish to ask about is the Flagler Humane Society at One Shelter Drive. I went there to make a donation there the other day, and the roadway or driveway, whatever you happen to call it, is dirt, and it's really kind of like a Jeep Rubicon. You can almost bottom your car out. I don't know if that's a city road being One Shelter Drive, or if not, if there's any way the city can help out with just scraping that up and leveling it off. I know it would be a good, you know, a good thing to be able to help them out. I don't know about their funds, but I know the Humane Society does a lot for the residents around here. And if not being far from our Public Works Department, if there's any way they can help, I think that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker. None. I'll close public comments. Mr. Carr, thank you for your comments. Jack, I will have you, you'll be able to speak during the consent agenda on item number 11. And flame throwing, I've never heard of.
Now, it's a new one on me, but we've got some people in the back room, back row, that can look into that and see if, what other cities are doing regarding.
I've been hearing about it just for the last couple of weeks. I think that's about the only times that it's started to make the national and local news. The local governments that I work with have not yet taken up any ordinances, but I'm happy to work with staff to take a look at that if that's the council's direction and request.
Council good with looking at that issue?
The good news is they're all sold out. They only could sell 20,000 of them.
Okay.
I have no objection to looking at it. It looks rather formidable.
Thank you. And I believe the Humane Society is a county.
It's a private drive. And so it's like any other private drive. We start agreeing to help people with their private drive, whether they're a good cause or not, then you know that you can't use your tax dollars on that. So
private drive or the county owns it.
I know it's not city. I'm 99% sure it's a private drive. But if it was a county, I think.
Look at that and make sure and then get back to us. Yeah, let us know in an email.
I can do that. Okay. It's an issue we've dealt with for many years. Yes, I'll be happy to confirm it's not a county road or anything about.
And the fact of the matter is, if it's a private road, we can't go on private property to maintain roads.
Right.
The law, but I mean, if it's a county road, maybe we can work with our county to say this is an issue.
I can confirm it's not county.
Okay. Okay. If you'll just let us know. Thank you. Okay. We'll now move to presentations. Item number F2, a presentation on the third annual health and safety employee calendar.
Mayor, City Council. Normally, this is a joint effort with our wellness team and our safety team. But the wellness team leader is not well, so she's not here today. So we had the privilege of actually having a couple of national champion water boys from our utility department that are part of our safety team and our wellness team, and so they're going to pitch hit for Carol. So I think I'm going to turn it over to Fred and Pete and let you all take it from here.
Yeah, you're not Carol Minnie.
We'll try not to mess this up together. Good evening, Mayor, City Council, City Manager.
As City Manager mentioned, Carol's not here today, but we're here to present the 2018 Health and Safety Calendar Awards sponsored by the City Wellness Team and the safety teams. The contest overview is basically the children of the city employees submit a drawing or a painting about health and or workplace safety. The age groups for participation are ages 3 to 6, 7 to 10, 11 to 14, and 15 to 18. We judge the criteria on 40% of originality and creativity, 10% aesthetic quality, 30% clarity of message, and 20% adherence to the contest rules. Right now, we're showing you the 2017 winner. The face of the calendar from 2017 was done by Nicole Nabico. And we are going to start with our honorable mentions from 7 to 10-year-olds. Our first honorable mention is... first honorable mention is Connor Gibson. He is 8 years old, son of Mark Gibson, the building inspector. Connor loves playing at the beach and eating barbecue. So, Connor, can you please come up? Connor's not here? Okay.
He's outside playing.
Our next honorable mention in the 7 to 10-year-old bracket is Joaquin Papa, age 9. He's the son of Jose Papa. Joaquin loves magic tricks and playing all kinds of sports. Our next honorable mention in the 7 to 10-year-old group is Landry Martin, age 9. Landry is the son of Robert Martin, a building inspector. He loves school and reading is his favorite subject. Landry's favorite sport is football. Come up. Our next honorable mention in the 7 to 10-year-old bracket is Olivia Papa, age 10. Daughter of Jose Papa, Olivia plays violin with the Dealer Youth Group Orchestra and also learning to play the piano.
No worries.
All right, the next honorable mentions, 11 to 14-year-olds. Our first honorable mention in the 11 to 14-year-old group is Philip Cangelosi, age 11. Philip is the cousin of Charlie Minnie, the building inspector, and Carol Minnie, the urban forester. Philip is a four-year cello player and one of the youngest in that group. Our next honorable mention in the 11 to 14-year-olds is Diana Cangelosi, age 12. Diana is also the cousin of Charlie Minnie, building inspector, and Carol Minnie, urban forester. Diana loves playing the violin, and she's been playing for 5 years. All right, our next honorable mention, 11 to 14-year-olds, is Logan Martin, age 12. Logan is the son of Robert Martin, building inspector. His favorite class is math. When Logan is not in school, he likes to ride a scooter, go fishing, and ride his four-wheeler. All right, now we're into the 2018 Health and Safety Calendar winners, the 3 to 6-year-old division. First place winner is Aaliyah Summerlot, age 5. Aaliyah is 5 years old, and she's the granddaughter of John Baudet, landscape specialist. Aaliyah loves school and enjoys dancing for the Flagler School of Dance. She's very creative and loves to draw. All right, our 2018 calendar winners in the 7 to 10-year-old division. Third place winner is Gunnar Martin, age 7. Gunner is the son of Robert Martin, the building inspector. He does not like school, but when he's at home, his favorite class is music. I'm with you. Our second place winner in the 7 to 10-year-old division is Ella Flammer, age 7. Ella's not here tonight. Ella's a 7-year-old and granddaughter of Judy Flammer, code enforcement technician. Ella loves to play make-believe with her friends and has a huge collection of Shopkins that is hard to keep track of. She's a very good she's good at gymnastics and has registered over 10,000 steps on her Mermaid Fitbit recently. Our first place winner in the 7 to 10-year-old division is Sarah Saunders, age 7. Sarah is the granddaughter of Fire Battalion Chief Ron Petrillo. Sarah enjoys drawing and artwork, and she loves cats. And our 2018 11 to 14-year-old calendar winners. Third place winner in the 11 to 14 age group, Katrina Gibson, age 12. Katrina is the daughter of Mark Gibson, the building inspector. Katrina loves and enjoys music at the beach, school, and dancing. Her favorite food is pizza, her mom's non-egg chocolate chip cookies. Our second place winner is Isabella Papa, age 12. The daughter of Jose Papa. Isabella loves playing volleyball for her school team and enjoys reading Harry Potter books. First place winner in the 11 to 14-year-old division is A.J. Hicks. A.J. is 13 years old and the nephew of Teresa McFall, a zoning technician. A.J. loves to play sports and anything challenging. A.J. loves his sneakers and has 15 pairs. And that is it for our presentation for the safety awards. If anybody needs a calendar, we have several of them on our back table. Thank you.
Children. There we go. All right. Can we see everyone's face? Okay, keep smiling. 1, 2, 3. Keep smiling. There's lots of people taking your pictures, so keep smiling. You guys good? Keep smiling. A few more. It's the paparazzi. Thank you.
And Council, I need to go back and seek approval for the minutes on agenda item number E1 of the January 16, 2018 business meeting and the January 20, 2018 special meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number F3, a presentation by the Rotary Club of Flagler County recognizing the Palm Coast Volunteer Firefighters for their support and assistance with Fantasy of Lights.
I wasn't sure who was going to handle this, but it's like Deputy Chief Forte is in charge. So,
how is everybody?
And you have the volunteer firefighters?
They're shy.
I don't know them to be shy, actually.
Mayor, Council, with me tonight, we brought Judge John Cascucci, Mike DiStefano, Captain Jim Lee, and George Norman. They represent our associate members of the department. And if you know, we have a pretty large volunteer corps made up of four components. You're familiar with the fire police, who are out on the streets, and they're protecting the crews working out in the streets on fires and brush fires, as well as car accidents. You've got the firefighters who are part of the intern program, who are riding with the career folks, and you've got the other volunteers that also report to the station staffing their own trucks. And then we have the associate members made up of some of the gentlemen behind me, but what else they also do is they're around the station helping out during normal activities, during the daily work that needs to get done, helping out as well as fire prevention, staffing the public safety trailer, and doing numerous things throughout the year around Christmas time, helping out with Santa Claus and things like that. And these are folks who have a steep history in the fire service, and they have a dedication that goes beyond no other. And it's a pleasure to have those folks around that still want to be an active participation. They come in and help out a whole lot. The fourth ring of our volunteer corps is the actual the Palm Coast Volunteer Fire Rescue, Inc. It's a nonprofit corporation. It's a 501(c) that actually helps support educational functions throughout the department. For example, tonight they are at the station teaching career and volunteer firefighters the Emergency Vehicle Operations Course, or EVOC program, which is one of the aspects of getting folks out on the road safely to learn how to drive defensively. And that's a group of people that are made up to teach all the department how to do things. And most recently, they have just sponsored a driver apparatus program that is bringing an outside instructor to help teach the career and volunteers fire apparatus hydraulics. So the associate members that are behind me make up a large core of the department that also make up the corporation. And the corporation actually drives the educational part of the volunteers and some of what the career folks are doing. Why they're here tonight is Bill and Tracy are representing the Rotary Club, which I don't have my pen. I'm going to get a fine. You got it. They actually helped out during the breakdown of the Rotary display for the Fantasy of Lights. And so I'd like to turn it over to Tracy and Bill and let them explain a little bit more about what happened.
Good evening, City Council and Mayor. As you all know, Fantasy Lights is a huge undertaking, and we cannot do it just with our club members. But, you know, this group behind me, they're Palm Coast Fire and Rescue. And the second part, the rescue, that's what they did. They rescued us because on setup day on Saturday, it was cold, it was rainy. The high school sports team was supposed to come out to help us at 8 o'clock. No one showed. I think they thought we were canceling because it was raining. But these guys showed up, and they worked in the rain and the cold. I had it easy. I was in the trailer unloading displays, so I was kind of dry. But these guys just, you know, and it wasn't just these guys. It was a group of, maybe 8, 10 of them. And what we needed was not just a bunch of worker bees, but we needed the more adult supervisory type of people. It wasn't enough of us Rotary people to go around to supervise and do things and know what to be done. But these guys did, and so we reached out to them early on, asked them if they would help us, and they said, sure. I said, we'll be willing to pay you. No, we don't want any money. And when we were all said and done, we thought, no, we need to donate to their cause because, you know, they do a lot of good things in the community. And what do we do with our profits from Fantasy Lights? It goes back to the community. So we thought, how appropriate to do that. We wanted to publicly recognize them for all they do. not just Fantasy Lights, but, you know, the way they protect our community. I want to introduce our Rotary President, Tracy Loftus, for the check presentation.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Good evening, and it is my pleasure on behalf of the Rotary Club of Flagler County to issue this check for $400 to the Palm Coast Volunteer Fire Rescue, Inc. We appreciate everything that you've done. George. Thank you again. We couldn't have done it without you. We need all the help we can get. Thank you. If we can get the
photo up here.
Down again.
Thank you again to our volunteer fire department. We cannot do many of the things we do in this community without you, so thank you. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number G4.
Yes, Mayor, the property owner has asked that this rezoning application be postponed. So it will have to be re-advertised and then come back to you at a later time when they're ready.
Thank you. Okay, G5, Mr. Reichman.
Yes, Madam Mayor. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, repealing Chapter 54, Wireless Telecommunications of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast, amending the Unified Land Development Code of the City of Palm Coast by amending Chapter 3, Zoning, Uses, and Dimensional Standards, Section 3.0201, Residential Zoning Districts, Table 3.2, to cross-reference Section 4.20 relating to wireless communication facilities. The amending Section 3.0302, Non-Residential and Mixed-Use Districts, Allowable Uses, Table 3.4, to cross-reference Section 4.20 relating to wireless communication facilities, repealing and replacing Section 420, Wireless Communication Facilities of Chapter 4, Conditions for Limited Specific Uses and Activities, to amend and update regulations regarding communications facilities consistent with applicable state and federal law, and rename Section 4.20 to read Wireless Telecommunications. Amending Section 14.02 Glossary to update definitions relating to wireless communication facilities, providing for severability codification for conflicts, and providing for an effective date. And yes, Mayor, that is me that you hear on the radio reading the car ad disclaimers.
And so, Mr. Landon, both 5 and 6, will they be?
Yeah, they're actually two separate ones, so we can do them separately. Because these are second readings, so we don't have a presentation for you tonight. You've seen and heard this many times. One of the City Council's priorities has been to improve our cell phone coverage, you know, the trying to avoid those drop calls or those dead zones. Recently, we have adopted a master plan to help make that happen. And then this is the ordinance that changes our land development code. The feedback we've gotten from carriers and experts in the business is that our code was restrictive for the technology of today and made it difficult for them to expand. And so we've worked with our consultant on this one and came up with a plan that we believe still protects residential property, residents, but also helps make sure that we can encourage additional antennas going up and have better coverage. This is second reading. It's been vetted many times, and it's consistent with City Council's previous first reading action and discussion, and we believe it's ready for final action tonight.
Council, any questions or discussion? Before I open up to the public, any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number G5, please do so at this time. None, I'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number G6, Mr. Reichman.
Yes, Madam Mayor, this is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending Section 4238, Exceptions of Article 2, Right-of-Way Utilization of Chapter 42, Streets, Roads, Bridges, and Other Public Places, to provide an exception for wireless facilities permitted in accordance with the Communications Right-of-Ways Ordinance, amending Article 4, Communications Right-of-Ways of Chapter 42, Streets, Roads, Bridges, and Other Public Places of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast, to amend and update the regulations regarding communications facilities and public right-of-ways consistent with applicable state and federal law, including the Advanced Wireless Infrastructure Deployment Act. This ordinance provides for severability, codification for conflicts, and provides for an effective date.
Mayor, City Council, this is kind of the phase two, if you will. It's a little different. The last one really had to do with towers, and this one has to do with new technology and public right-of-way. One of the things that you may hear a lot about is 5G or small cells, micro cells. And those are not the big towers, but those are small cells that they can put up on buildings, but also within public right-of-way, on light poles, on traffic signal, mast arms, etc. The state last year passed a state statute that requires cities to allow these on public right-of-way with certain conditions. And so this ordinance is consistent with that state law and actually amends our right-of-way ordinance to allow for these small cells and to make sure we were consistent with state law. So it's really just an implementation ordinance that you don't have a whole lot of discretion over because it's very very much controlled by state statute. So, but we think it's good to get out in front. We haven't had any proposals for the small cells, but it's good to have an ordinance that's ready for them when they're ready to come.
Thank you. Council, any questions or comments before I open up to the public?
And I must say, a second reading again, you've seen this before, so.
Seeing none, I'll open up to public comment. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number G6, please do so at this time.
Jack Carroll from Palm Coast. Do we get any kind of a fee for this right of way?
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment.
Yes, actually, the state sets that fee or sets the maximum. And if I recall, it's $100 a year per sale is the maximum we can charge a fee for using our public right of way.
Initially, it was $10, but we fought for up to $100 up in Tallahassee.
Good old Tallahassee. Okay, seeing no further comments, no public speakers, we'll open up. I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number H7. Mr. Landon.
Mayor, City Council, this also you have seen in workshop with our new community center, which will open next month. Also, the fact that we have taken over the management of our tennis center and our golf course. And then it's just been a long time since we've updated our fees. We have, you know, Holland Park reopening, et cetera, that we're proposing to update our rental fees, our reservation fees. This isn't going to be anything new. You've seen this at workshop, but Alex is going to go through it, so make sure the community is well aware of it. So, yep. Alex, take it from here.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. As Mr. Landon said, we are presenting the update to the Parks and Rec fee structure. Just to kind of go through it real quick, we'll start out with the community center. Once again, just the new layout that we're looking at with the different max capacities for the seating and those sort of things. What used to be our largest room is now our smallest room. And our largest room is going to be able to hold a max capacity of 225 seated participants. As we did in the workshop, we're proposing two rates for the community center, a business hour rate and an after hour rate. We are looking at, per City Council's directive, to charge a little bit more for those that are wanting to use the facility to make a profit off of the room rentals. But at the same time, we do believe that the prices are fair within the market rate. One of the other things that we are changing is that we are requiring the setup and teardown fee so that we can protect the equipment that we've just purchased with this project. Then for our after hours, very similar to the same setup. The only difference is for our large room, we are trying to do a four-hour block minimum. That will hopefully help us with larger rentals, different types of either seminars or wedding receptions, those sort of things, make it a little bit more accessible for the community. Our park pavilion fees, most of them are staying the same. The only ones that we've added is we will now be able to rent the pavilion at the tennis center. We did separate the amphitheater as a rental opportunity, and then the additional renting the whole park of Central Park with adding the for-profit rate that was suggested by City Council. Then going into our pass holders. So for the pool, we are proposing no changes from what we currently have. The only thing that we have added is to hopefully be able to offer a monthly fee for both limited family and individuals. We did see this very popular in the summer when we did it for our local patrons. Then our tennis center pass holder fee. As we presented at the workshop, we are looking to discontinue the family and the couples rate, but actually lower the single pass rate. One thing I can tell you is that we actually currently in our new structure, right here it shows that we had 23 couples. Right now we have 21 that's already signed up for this fiscal year. Knowing that they'll have the entire year with that pass before they would actually expire in December. So most people actually have a year before this goes into effect for the couples fees. Then the golf pass holder fees, very similar to what's the market rate. We're actually getting ready to roll this one out, but this is very in line to what most of the municipal golf courses in the area. We are a very cheap rate if you are a city resident, especially for 18 holes around during the peak season. Then we have the off-peak season rates, then the nine-hole peak season rates, and then the nine-hole off-season rates. We did want to highlight our junior rates because we do obviously want more junior golfers. So we do have the $5 for walking just so we can get some of our high school kids hopefully after school to come and play. Then a new one that we have proposed is our fee structures for athletics. Once again, proposing the new recommended window for reservations. We still will do a 1 year out, but we do want a time frame where we can cap our reservations for tournaments. Once again, proposing that we would charge non-Sports Alliance members a $3 per person fee in order for just wear and tear, upkeep of the facilities, lights, those sort of things. Very easy to become a Sports Alliance member, and so this is where we're hopefully growing the Sports Alliance. Hopefully all of our organizations will be there and we won't be charging anyone, but we'll have more community use. And then once again, looking to propose our tournament fees. The big one here is obviously requiring the deposit for the fields. That's one of the biggest things that we're working on is we obviously want people to come and actually use the fields. That's kind of a different opportunity than what other places is. So as long as you come and you use what you request, you get your deposit back. Our public works crews works very hard in order to set up for tournaments and field use and those sort of things. And we don't want to use taxpayer dollars for something that's going to sit there all over the weekend. So that's one of the big pushes for us is to now require a deposit for tournaments that are coming in. And that is presentation by staff. Do you have any questions?
Questions, any council, or any questions for any council members?
I have nothing from me.
We'll now open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to speak on agenda item number H7, please do so at this time.
Jack Cowell, Palm Coast. I understand they said you put a deposit down to play on the fields, and then if you comply, you get your deposit back. Who maintains the fields after they leave? You know, if they're playing sports with cleats, that's going to tear up the whole field. So do we absorb that to make repairs, or who pays for that?
Next speaker.
I'm Mr. Mielebook, I'm a resident of Palm Coast, and was wondering if the city council would consider that the rental of the community center for nonprofits to be free if they would need it, or a lower rate, such as the veterans organizations that may want to use it, and other nonprofits.
Thank you. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Mr. Lynn, if you can address the deposit on the fields.
Yeah, see, once again, the goal, and that's really one of our priorities of our Indian Trail Sports Complex, is to bring in the tournaments. And when we do that, we've estimated already this one quarter we've made about $3 million economic investment in the or impact on the community. Every time those people come into town and they get something to eat and stay in our hotels and et cetera, the cash registers ring, which means we get sales tax. So that's really how we really benefit from that, plus all our businesses benefit. So that's why we want to make sure that we're very attractive. With the deposit, so, and then to answer the question directly, we use those dollars, basically tax dollars, to maintain the fields. It's the tax dollars support this complex. And so when we mow the grass or have to repair it because of the cleats and everything, that is part of our general fund expenses. I do want to point out, though, what the deposit really is all about is that right now someone can say we need all 10 fields. And then we line them. We spend the dollars line them. We don't let anybody else use them. And then they only have enough teams for 4 fields. And so they have no skin in the game, so that's okay. It costs them nothing. And what we find is, and you might as well ask for all 10 whether you need them or not. So we're saying, yeah, you need to think about how many fields you really need, and if you're not going to use them, then we're going to keep the deposit to pay for the cost of lining it and the opportunity cost, if you will, of not allowing somebody else to use the fields. So this is our way of trying to make sure that the individual tournament organizers are a little more realistic with us on fields, is what this is all about. So, and then if they do use the fields, once again, we'll let them have it free, with the idea we hope they're going to use all of them and maybe more, and then that's when the economic impact on the community occurs.
Okay. And about the not-for-profit?
I would say our rates are very, very low, and obviously there is some cost of setup and all those type of things. I forget exactly what the fees are, but they are extremely...
So the fees are actually set up to cover the cost of operation. So in order to have staffing in the building, that is what it would cost per hour. You know, it's not necessary for cost recovery. It's just operations.
Okay, Council. I will entertain a motion. Moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passed unanimously. Agenda item number I, which is the consent agenda. Any member of the public wish to speak on any item, numbers 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, please do so at this time. You can come up and speak.
Jack Kyle, pull 11, please.
You can speak at 11 right now, Jack. You can speak to it right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. I going back, I guess, 4 or 5 months ago, they had a meeting with Hudson and the other fella. And I brought up the fact that we need a line on 100 and Beltair. It's a turn line. But now you're gonna pave that. I thought that was a state road. So is that intersection belong to the city? Or if you do pave it, are you gonna put the line in that you know, so people could see making a turn? And that was my main issue. Mr. Travis promised that they would do it, and he reneged. I called him up, and I told him what I thought of him. And I'm asking you, will we get a line when they repave it.
Thank you.
But mainly, who owns that?
Okay. Thank you. Any other member of the public wish to speak on any of the consent agenda items, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment.
Yep. Mayor, City Council, what this is Mr. Carroll is correct. State Road 100 is a state highway, right-of-way owned by the state. But what we're doing is widening Beltaire right there at the state highway. So, and Beltaire is a city street. So what this project is northbound traffic coming from the south. When it hits State Road 100, there would now be a right turn lane. One of those things that we've incorporated as part of the new shopping center at that corner. And for any of those who have been at that intersection, particularly during busy times, and I know we've got someone that lives right there, it is badly needed now. And we recognize that at the time. And so what we're doing is widening that, adding the lane on Beltaire. So it's a city street. So as far as paving the intersection and changing any lines or any of the striping on the state highway, the city won't be doing that. That's not part of this project. We'll be obviously putting in crosswalks and those type of things, but nothing that would actually be out there on the state highway.
Okay. Council, I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So.
Moved.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number J, which is public participation. Any member of the public wishes to speak on agenda items not on the agenda, please do so at this time.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. John Netz, Palm Coast. Several months ago, I appeared before you to bring to your attention an extraordinarily unsightly and potentially dangerous situation on Florida Park Drive. Whether it's due to a perched water table or whatever, there are two areas, one on either side of the Holland Park, northbound, on the northbound side, where the water is constantly standing. I commented about the mud boggers who've made a mess of the little grass island. There is no grass anymore. There's mud. But the dangerous part is that in two areas, water is actually flowing over the sidewalk continuously. And that's why I suggest that this might be a perched water table rather than just a high water table. But the reality is that the pavement is slippery and dirty and messy, and it's hazardous. At the time I brought this up 2 months ago, Mr. Landon said the city was aware of it, and it was on your work plan. So far, nothing's been done. The situation remains the same. We've put a lot of money into making Holland Park a very attractive asset for our city, but as you approach it from either side, you see this mess, and I'd really like to see you do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, Blanche Valentine, and I live here in Palm Coast. Purchased a lot on Long Place, watched it all through Hurricane Matthews, no problem. So I built a house. And I have had so much trouble. I've been calling about the swells, about my PEP tank. I paid for the bore test before I purchased the lot. Still no relief. Had the swells trenched out, but there were several lots on my street. I happened to buy one in the middle. Both sides, now the dirt and sand washed down into my swells. I no longer have swells. So I don't know what I'm able to look to the city for, but it's gotten to be a really, really bad problem. And now I thought I would have some relief with the work being done on Matanzas because our cul-de-sac backs up on Matanzas Parkway. And for some reason, that made it worse. Instead of the water running off into the ditches that they've dug, they banked it up so the water backs up and comes back down the street. So that's my problem. I've been calling, and people from Public Works come out and they say, you're on the calendar for October. That was back in July. October came and went, and I understand it was a hurricane, and did our part, and I've been calling, and they don't even come out anymore. So, thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. And then I'll close public comment. Mr. Wynn, if you can address Floor Park Drive.
Yes, this actually came up last meeting also. We totally agree. I've talked to our design people. Mr. Nett's 100% correct. This isn't just a maintenance issue. It's actually a design issue where we're going to have to figure out how to redirect the water table. I have asked Mr. Flanagan to put priority on that, and so because it does need to get taken care of quickly, and so we are going to put more priority on the design so that we can get out there and fix the problem and not just, it's not a Band-Aid approach. We really need to get rid of the water table at that location.
So you'll just keep us updated on progress?
Yes, and this will further emphasize the importance that we get this one done.
And the next speaker's comments, if we can have her connect with someone.
Yes, in fact, we'll start tonight. Mr. Flanagan will connect with her and see what we can do to help with her different issues. It's the first time I've heard of this one, but we'll see what we can do to help. So
make sure you give your contact information to Mr. Flanagan in the back of the room, and he'll reach out to you to connect.
Okay.
Discussion by City Council matters not on the agenda. Vice Mayor Cuff.
I have nothing for this meeting, Mayor.
I would like to thank the city staff who were working diligently today to try to rescue the ducks who had a fishing line around their beaks. I had alerted Mr. Landon earlier, and they were out there promptly. So thank you. I know they definitely spent some time doing it.
It's not an easy task. They don't want to be caught. It's
wrangling cats.
It's actually kind of fun watching them. It's when people chase, watch people chase a duck. It's a hoot.
Wait for ducklings 2.0.
Like a video of whatever he's talking about for the next meeting. No, I have nothing.
Okay, thank you. And I have nothing. I actually do have one item. Is there going to ever be a light Matanzas interchange coming up as you are going off the ramp and either turning left or right?
A signal? Traffic signal or a street light?
No, a traffic signal.
Traffic signal.
It's quite dangerous.
It's like a blind left. Right?
Yeah, it's really...
you really can't see.
Yeah.
I even had Representative Renner say it's like taking your life into your own hands sort of thing. I don't know who...
Well, once again, we were surprised that the signal was not included with the interchange project. The city now is... The right-of-way has been transferred from Flagler County to the city. And it is one of our projects we're asking the state to take a look at and see if it meets warrants so that they can now install the traffic signals at that intersection. I think everybody who is not familiar with Palm Coast and how many people feed in and out of that intersection and the high school traffic were surprised. I personally not surprised with the traffic there and thought the signal should have been installed immediately. But we will continue to add it to our list of requests that the state install that because it would be a state signal.
I would have Mr. Brockman reach out to Representative Renner since he's very familiar with it. He gets nervous coming back from Tallahassee all the time. So
we can do that too. Yes.
Very uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Is it something that we can do and then get reimbursed for from the state, or does this slow down the process of getting reimbursed if we use our money?
Well,
we'll never get the money back.
Yeah, I don't. And, yeah. And we have to do it to their standards, and it would still have to go through their process. And the fact of it is, the signal is not that expensive for them. For us, it's a big ticket item. For their multi-billion-dollar budget, it's not that much. So it's better to let them do what they're responsible for.
I don't think Representative Renner is aware that the state can.
Yep. Okay.
Really, so I would have that conversation.
Yep, be happy to have that. That would be good.
Yeah. Thank you. That's all I have. Discussion by City Attorney of matters not on the agenda.
No report.
Discussion by City Manager of matters not on the agenda.
As always, Cindy passes along, and she's got a number of things this weekend. It's all tied into our birding festival. You know, it really is turned out to be a big deal, and a lot of people coming in. This year, one of the keynote speakers is Moose Peterson. He's well-known nationally, if not internationally, as a birding expert, and we're very privileged to have him. In fact, we've rented the auditorium at Flagler High School, Flagler Palm Coast High School, and the doors open at 6:30, and that is Saturday evening. There's a number of things all the way through Friday through Sunday. I'm not going to sit here and try to read all of them other than just encourage people to take a look at the website and some of the other advertisement we've done and come on out. I think so far the weather looks like it's going to be great and great for birding, so hopefully everybody comes out. This past weekend, when I was in charge of the weather, I'm always in charge after the events, we had another great men's future tennis tournament here, the USTA. Very proud of our staff. It's the first time that we've actually been in charge of running it, and very proud and got great comments and reviews from the USTA officials. I've been told that this will be the last year for this tournament because they're going to go to another level and actually have a larger purse and maybe attract even a higher caliber of tennis player in the future. So that's, I think, indicative of this being a great venue for them to come to. So it'd be kind of nice to see if they take that to the next level. The last thing I have here is we have a lunch and lecture. That's Friday. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's going to be here the 16th. And it's the title of it is Florida Licensing on Wheels. Come and learn what that means, because I'm not even sure what that means, Cindy, but it has to do with driving. So this is usually a crowd for our seniors, a program for our seniors, and we get a good crowd for the 16th at noon here in this building. That's all I have, Mayor.
I think it's interesting, I will say, because I spoke at the last one and there were a couple hundred people there.
Yes.
The theme was shop local, and I think they thought I was going to, like, create a list of local businesses, because afterwards I received emails going, it's a great presentation, but what businesses are out there? And I'm like, no, it's the whole thing. But it was a really good turnout, so I don't know if all of them are that well attended, but I would suggest everybody go out and at least...
I'm sure more came to see you than anybody else, but no, it's always a good turnout.
Yeah, so, okay.